Hare Krishna. All right, we have a series of questions with short answers today from Balaram Das. He's quoting from Prabhupada's purport in the first canto where Prabhupada writes, the Pandavas were so malleable to the will of the Lord that they could sacrifice any amount of energy for the service of the Lord, and by such unalloyed determination they could secure the Lord's mercy in any shape they desired. He says, how does this apply to us? Well, here, Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing Jejatamam Prapadyante Tamstataiva Bhajamiham. As we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with us. When we fully surrender to Krishna's will, Krishna fully surrenders to his devotees. So when here it says that they could secure the Lord's mercy in any shape they desired, Krishna would reciprocate with them in any way that they wanted. When Arjuna wanted Krishna to drive his chariot, he did that. When Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted Krishna to try and make peace with the Kauravas, then he went to become a messenger. In short, when we become Krishna's slave in love, then Krishna also becomes the slave of his devotee. And then he asks about this other statement of Srila Prabhupada further on in the first canto, quote, there is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord, the demigods, and the devotee of the Lord on earth. He says, how can I increase my own connection chain of cooperation with the Lord and the demigods? The chain of cooperation is described in Bhagavad Gita, Ishtan Bhogan Hidyodeva. Krishna states that when one performs sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord, the demigods are automatically satisfied, and thus they provide all the necessities for mankind. Similarly, whatever facilities a devotee needs, demigods also means material nature because they're the controllers of material nature. Whatever facilities a devotee needs for the execution of devotional service and to live in this world are provided for him by the demigods, as well as assistance in going back home, back to Godhead, and serving the Lord. So we increase our chain, or strengthen the chain of complete cooperation between the demigods, the devotees, and the Lord by strictly following Krishna's desire. If we follow Krishna's desires, we live according to the laws of the Lord, and we perform sacrifice to please him, then more diligently we do that, the stronger the chains of cooperation become. Next is a question from Dear Bhakta, who gives a lengthy question, but he says, share some principles in relation to corporate sponsorship, its use in advertising of non-devotee but commercial enterprises in our centers and temples. In other words, should ISKCON accept advertisement in exchange for money? I would say briefly that it can, but in a very limited way. In a way, it does not compromise either our spiritual principles, the visual message that we give to people in spreading Krishna consciousness in the appearance of our temples and function. An example, for instance, in which I would think that it's acceptable is Janmashtami souvenirs, where funds for financing Janmashtami are collected by putting together a souvenir, a good part of which is advertising from different companies, shops, businesses, etc. These souvenirs, aside from giving Krishna conscious information, then are a means whereby people or guests of the temple can see who are donors to the society, and from them they can choose whatever items they want to purchase. Obviously, the temple is benefited by finances, but the advertisement is restricted to a magazine which is distributed or available to those who want it without intruding in any way on the Janmashtami mood, atmosphere, temple, and so on. Then I have this long question from a Padmanabha Das in English, and it's about real technicalities of music, and not being a musician, I can't answer it. Particularly, he wants to know things in regards to music in the Vedas. So he'd have to go to someone who is actually expert in this regard. Then Gauranga Premananda from The Hague asks why a certain sannyasi is not allowed to preach in the UK. I suggest he asks the local GBC. And Shamananda Das from Ireland asks for permission to be able to use some pastimes from Venu Gita to put on dramas for Radhastami. And I'm more than happy to oblige. I'm glad that I can be a source of transcendental entertainment for the Vaishnavas. Krishna Das gives sort of a lengthy question, but basically it boils down to how do we deal with or relate to senior devotees who were once part of ISKCON but have left either to join other Gaudiya organizations or share some other type of philosophy, and yet when there's an ISKCON function they come and participate. The general principle is that those who do not increase our faith in Guru, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and aren't supportive of our society are best kept at a respectful distance, or we keep ourselves a respectful distance from them. Gopalila Dar from Hungary asks another question about devotees who sort of have a different way of leading kirtan, get very much into the music. He seems to imply that they make much ado of the musical aspect of the kirtan without necessarily being into worshiping the holy name. Well, firstly, we should recognize that there are probably many different styles of kirtan, and not everyone likes everyone's style. Not everyone likes my style of kirtan either. And that doesn't necessarily mean that someone is not absorbed in chanting the holy name. And when we're in RT, then because we're there for the pleasure of the Lord, we should stay there and chant along. However, if someone's mind becomes too critical and begins to criticize Vaishnavas, then better not put ourselves in such a situation. And as a personal advice to him, it's better not to judge Vaishnavas as to whether they are absorbed in chanting the mantra or absorbed in glorifying the holy name based on how they're singing. It may or may not be the case. If one wants to clarify something like that, well, one can ask one's spiritual master or senior devotees. Then Bhaktin Adrian says, I bought a gift for my friend, which is a jug, a drinking jug with or cup with a picture of the altar of New Vrajadham on it, which I presume is Radhe Shyam. I guess someone must have made that or had it made. But she says that when I gave this to a friend of mine, then they didn't know whether they should drink from it or not. I would say no. I wouldn't drink from a cup with a picture of Krishna on it or Radha Krishna on it or any deities. It's not really appropriate us to be opening our mouths like that or taking service from an implement that has a container that has a picture of the Lord on it. And finally, Sundar Madhava Das asks, is it proper to mix Charanamrita into one's prasadam, or should it be honored separately? Honor it separately. Charanamrita is prasadam, and eating prasadam is another type of prasadam. They're both prasadam, but they have separate ways in which we're, they're meant to be respected. One is meant to be sipped in the palm of your hand, and the other one is meant to be eaten from a plate. It's not necessary to mix them together. If we do, then we won't be absorbed in the proper mentality respect. When we're drinking Charanamrita, we're thinking about the water that's washed the lotus feet of the Lord, and when we're eating prasadam, we're thinking about the foodstuffs that has touched the Lord's lips and is mixed with his the nectar from his lips, his Adharamrita. And that's it for now. Hare Krishna.